It has been a while since I talked about the topic of Christmas. Monday of this week, I received a spam message, and most spam messages go right into complete delete when I see them. But this one was entitled Santa's Cyber Monday Sale. Santa's Cyber Monday Sale. The advertisement goes, send the joy of Christmas to your child or grandchild with the magical gift of a personalized letter and package from Santa Claus. End quote. Well, this will be a personalized message about Santa today as we revisit this topic of Santa Claus and the counterfeit of Jesus Christ. There are continuing controversies over nativity scenes, promoting only the Christian religion, holiday greetings. Thankfully, I don't go out that much, so I don't get a Merry Christmas, but I have gotten Happy Holidays, and even Santa Claus. Interestingly, no one wants to talk about this mythological figure. Who is he? Where did he come from? Why is he such an intrinsic part of Christmas? He has been historically tied into a Greek figure in the 4th century by the name of Nicholas, 4th century AD, who became a saint, hence Saint Nicholas, or Saint Nick for short. But that is somewhat shrouded in controversy and mystery. No one knows if that is the case or not. I will propose another origin as I consider certain coincidences of Santa and the Bible. This message will cover a bit of territory. I've got 20 points. It's a bit unusual for a sermon. Bit unusual for speaking, period. 20 points with scriptures. It's even more unusual. But I am not going to have you turn to the scriptures. You can write them down if you so desire. Because I'm going to go right on into reading the scriptures after I mention the point. So hang on. Point number one. Santa has white hair like wool. Santa has white hair like wool. Remind you of anyone? Scripture. Revelation chapter 1, 13 to 14. Revelation chapter 1, 13 to 14. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band, his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. My reaction? Point number two. Santa has a beard, which is white. Scripture. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. This is a prophecy of Jesus Christ, indicating that Christ had a beard. If Christ has a beard in Revelation chapter 1, what color is it? White. Reaction? Number 3 point. Santa wears red apparel. Santa wears red apparel. There's a track from Bob Dylan in his song, a Christmas album, entitled Must Be Santa. Must Be Santa, from a number of years ago. In the second verse, it says, Who wears boots and a suit of red? Santa wears boots and a suit of red. Who wears a long cap on his head? Santa wears a long cap on his head. Cap on head, suit that's red, special night, beard that's white, must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus. Now I sped up the meter of it because it is a fast song. But Santa is decked in red. Anyone else with red apparel? Scripture, Isaiah chapter 63, verses 1 to 3. Isaiah chapter 63, verses 1 to 3. Who is this who comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Verse 2. Why is your apparel red, and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? I have trodden in the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. For I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robe. Prophecy of Jesus Christ. What color is the apparel? Scripture, Revelation 19, verse 13, in the return of Jesus Christ. Revelation 19, 13. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. His apparel? Red? Point number 4. Santa sits on a throne. Santa sits on a throne. Take a trip to a local mall if you have one in your area at this time of the year. Watch Santa sitting on his royal throne. Kids are lined up to sit on his lap of judgment. What does Santa ask them? Have you been a good little boy or girl? In this time of cultural sensitivity, he might say, have you been a good little LGBTQIA++? We are getting worse, folk. We are getting worse. Hard to say how much further we're going to go down the rabbit hole of destruction, immorality. Read an article yesterday of a prestigious university, religious institution, in which a junior gave a sermon on Sunday about Jesus was transgender. Reason why? Because of paintings that he displayed from the 14th century and the scar from where the soldier had stuck the spear in his side, he says, was in the shape of female anatomy, which makes him female as well as male. I think about when God looked down on this earth prior to the flood, and how insane we are now. But God says every thought was evil. How much worse? How much worse? But probably Santa still asks, have you been a very good little boy or girl? Scripture. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8. But to the Son he says, your throne. This is the Father speaking to Christ. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. A possible insight into what's going on with this time of the year. Isaiah chapter 14, scripture, verses 12 to 14. Isaiah 14, 12 to 14, it says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Son of the morning, how are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? You did. And you have been doing it, and you continue to. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. Satan has a throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation of the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That last phrase is telling, which says, I will be like the Most High. Tie it in the scripture, Matthew 4, verses 8 to 9. As Lucifer or Satan is tempting Jesus Christ, and in this particular account, the last temptation that is listed. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Satan wants to be worshipped as a god. Is that happening at this time of the year, unbeknownst to human beings, especially among children? Who is their focus? Jesus Christ or Santa? Point number five. Santa encourages children to approach his throne to ask for anything they want. Santa encourages children to approach his throne to ask for anything they want. Scripture, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, mercy, that we may obtain mercy, find grace, gifts, to help in time of need. And to tie in with it, Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount given by Jesus Christ, Matthew 7, 7 to 12. Matthew 7, 7 to 11, not 12. Matthew 7, verse 7, it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? You've been a good little boy or girl? Point number six. From his throne, Santa judges who is good and who is bad. From his throne, Santa judges who is good and who is bad. Scripture, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 12. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 12. Then I saw a great white throne, him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. Reaction? Point number 7. Santa lives in the north and comes down from the north. Santa lives in the north and comes down from the north. The primary scripture I'm going to use for this is in Ezekiel chapter 1, but a coincidence. A coincidence in a scripture we've already read or pointed out in Isaiah chapter 14. The end of verse 13 of Isaiah 14 says, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the father's sides of the south, the underworld, on the father's sides of the north. Tying that in with scripture, Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 4. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 4. It says, then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north. A great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. You can read chapter 1. And as you read chapter 1 and compare to Santa riding around in heaven coming from the north, and you just go, As most know, Santa has been described for so long as miraculously riding across the sky with reindeer, guiding his way to deliver his gifts. The TV weatherman, the TV weather people, let me change that. The TV weather people track his trek across the sky. Christmas Eve, into Christmas. Thankfully, this time, Christmas Eve is on Saturday. And most of the weather people are off. And so consequently, you might get somebody who might just decide to track on the news on Saturday about Santa going across the sky. Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 26. Deuteronomy 33:26. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds, King James says, sky. He rides in the sky. Scripture, Matthew 24, verse 30. Matthew 24, verse 30. It says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. It is also interesting to note that as Paul said in Ephesians 2 verse 2, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. Do you get the strangest feeling that someone is trying to mimic someone else? My reaction? Point number 8, I threw this in because I want to make a number, like numbers that are kind of significant, make a number 20, I didn't want to end it up with 19, so I threw this one in, it's just as an aside. Point number 8, Santa has a wife but no children. Santa has a wife but no children. Scripture. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. The church is the betrothed virgin birth or virgin or wife of Jesus Christ, whom he will marry, as Revelation 19 brings out. However, we are the children of the Father. We will be the wife of Jesus Christ. Santa has a wife, but no children. And technically, Satan can have none. Even though he is considered a father, it is symbolic. Is he trying to say something? Point number 9. Santa is a carpenter. He makes toys. Santa is a carpenter. He makes toys. Scripture, Mark 6, verse 3. Mark 6, verse 3. Talking about Jesus Christ, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Santa, carpenter, Christ, a carpenter, reaction? Also interesting to note, when you look at the descendants of Christ's siblings, who were they? Does the line continue down to today? Does Satan even know that line, if there is such? It would be interesting to find that out one day. Point number 10. Santa is assisted by elves. Singular is E-L-F, elf. Plural, E-L-V-E-S, elves. Also known as fairies or trolls. T-R-O-L-L-S. In ancient religions, such as the Druids, elves were considered demons. In witchcraft, they were considered vampires. Any wonder about the popularity in modern times on TV of shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer or The Vampire Diaries? And what is the purpose of a vampire? To suck the life out of the prey. Scripture. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. Hebrews 1, verses 13 to 14. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Angels assist us for salvation by helping us keep the life of Jesus Christ in us. Satan has his minions, his demons, trying to destroy that life within, like vampires. Similarity? Contrast? Reaction? Point number 11. The hour of Santa's coming is unknown. The hour of Santa's coming is unknown. Scripture, Luke chapter 12, verse 40. Luke chapter 12, verse 40. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Similarity? Contrast? Counterfeit? Point number 12. So as the song goes, which segues in from point number 11, piggybacks from it. As the song goes, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better watch out, because I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Compare that to Scripture, Matthew 24, verses 42 to 44. Matthew 24, verses 42 to 44. Watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allow his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Children want to stay up as late as possible so that they get a glimpse at Santa. And here we have the statement, watch. This spills over into Matthew 25 with the parable of the 10 virgins, which concludes in verse 13 of Matthew 25. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Just like Santa? Or is Santa just like Christ? Point number 13. Children eagerly look forward to Santa's coming. Children eagerly look forward to Santa's coming. Bear with me on this one. On December 24th, millions of children will climb into bed looking forward to the coming of Santa Claus. They are excited. They are very excited. Remind you of anyone? The Bible concludes this way, Scripture, Revelation 22, 7, 12, and 20. Revelation 22, 7, 12, and 20. Behold, verse 7, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work. Verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Probably the most anticipated event in the Bible is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Over and over again in the New Testament, we are admonished to watch and wait for his coming. Our subtle, our deceiving adversary desires to be like the Most High. He desires to be worshipped. Do you think he will deflect attention away from the return of Jesus Christ? Is it possible, especially in the eyes and the minds of children? Satan is masquerading the return of Jesus Christ with the coming of Santa. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. What about Christ? The story of Santa, little editorial license, the gospel of Santa is a counterfeit of the coming of Jesus Christ, as far as I'm concerned. It's quite interesting that kids believe in the coming of Santa with every fiber of their being. And why not? The ones they trust the most, their parents, are preaching it to them over and over Santa is coming. Santa is coming. Everywhere they go, to the mall, there's Santa. To the store, there's Santa. To school, there's Santa. Everywhere they look, there's Santa. Could it also be that Satan wants to preach the gospel of Santa so that people will not have an understanding of the coming of Jesus Christ? Isn't it a bit ironic that even in Christianity, you find individuals who will make a tacit comment about the return of Jesus Christ, but why is he returning if you going up into heaven? What point does it serve for Christ to come back if you're going up into heaven? Is it something that Satan is trying to do from early on to deflect attention away from the return of Jesus Christ, focusing on the here and the now with Santa Claus? An aside, wouldn't it be great if we could have maybe even half the enthusiasm for the coming of Jesus Christ as kids have for the coming of Santa? I know we are. Living in a world that is going completely out of control, and we have been admonished in the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6 to pray for the coming of Jesus Christ. But in a sense, we're praying that, hey, we can get rid of this one. But can we focus on the other one? Are we looking forward to something? The Feast of Tabernacles, the fall festivals, but primarily the Feast of Tabernacles, last great day, that, yeah, I'm tired. I'm tired of this life. I have no problem closing eyes. But what am I looking forward to? Kids look forward to Santa coming to give them. Am I looking forward to helping Jesus Christ establish the kingdom? Point number 14. Santa is eternal. Santa is eternal. Santa is often portrayed as having a wife, but you never hear of him having a father or a mother. He seems to have no beginning, and certainly has no end. He has been the same. Santa is the same today as he was 70 years ago for me in the 50s. He hasn't changed at all. He's eternal. Scripture, Hebrews 13, verse 8. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know physically Santa can't be, but he is, in the eyes especially of young people. Also can tie in with this, 1 Timothy chapter 1:17, the King, eternal, immortal, invisible. This is Jesus Christ's reference. In Revelation 1 verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Tying in with this, point number 15, Santa is immutable. Santa is immutable. In other words, he does not change. He does not change. Year after year, on December 24th, he boards his sleigh, makes his appointed rounds with just as much energy and enthusiasm and strength as he did 100 years ago. Time seems to stand still for Santa. Unlike all other created plants, animals, and even humans who grow old and decay, Santa appears to be immune from the passage of time, doesn't get sick, doesn't get tired, never seems to age. Scripture, Psalm 102, verses 24 to 27. Psalm 102, verses 24 to 27. It says, I said, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. How it ties in with eternity. But he doesn't change. He doesn't change. Also tying in with this, James 1:17. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning or change. God and Christ are immutable. Who is Santa therefore like? Point number 16. Santa is omniscient. That is, he is all-knowing. Santa is omniscient. He is all-knowing. This idea is reflected in the song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been good or bad, so be good for goodness sake. He knows everything. That's what children are taught, and they believe it. Because he knows what they want for Christmas, and he brings it. And if they've been good, they know they're going to get it. You see what really is happening here? Santa has God-like attributes. And he can replace God in a child's mind and heart so that they can come to worship him, lowercase h, whom they see, as opposed to him, capital H, whom they do not see. Just mention the name Santa to the average child and watch their face light up. They love Santa. They love Santa with all their heart, their soul, their mind, their strength. They stand in line to sit on his lap. You know, if a child has ADD, attention deficit disorder, and they can't stay still for seconds, put them in line to see Santa. They can stay there for an hour waiting to see Santa. They love him. They leave him milk and cookies. He may be a fable of grown-ups. With those kids, they love him. They love him with their hearts. And why not? Why should not they believe in Santa? Santa is God-like to them. Who else has such powers? And why wouldn't they believe in him? Mommy and Daddy told me there is a Santa, and Mommy and Daddy won't lie, will they? And who is the father of lies? As it says in John 8, Scripture, Psalm 33, verses 13 to 15. Psalm 33, verses 13 to 15. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. Proverbs 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and on the good. He knows. In Matthew 6, verse 8, before the model prayer, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask. He knows. And so does Santa. Point number 17. Santa is omnipotent, that is, all-powerful. Santa is omnipotent, that is, all-powerful. In one night, the all-powerful Santa delivers millions and millions of gifts to children around the world. Who can do that? To the average child, Santa can do anything. I read a piece, engineering piece, 20 years ago. Thought it fascinating. And dealt with the aeronautical engineering report about the theory of Santa and how could Santa accomplish what he does. Breaking into the middle of it, it talks about the payload on the sleigh. The payload on the sleigh. Okay, it was 20 years ago. There are 2 billion children, persons under 18 in the world. But since Santa doesn't appear to handle the Muslims, Hindu, Jewish, and Buddhist children, that reduces the workload to 15% of the total, 378 million according to Population Reference Bureau. At an average census rate of 3.5 children per household, that's 91.8 million homes. One presumes that there's at least one good child in each. Assuming, this is the engineering mind, all right? Why it's fascinating to me when I read it. Assuming that each child gets nothing more than a medium-sized Lego set, 2 pounds, the sleigh, is carrying 321,300 tons. Not counting Santa, who is invariably described as overweight. On land, conventional reindeer can pull no more than 300 pounds. Even granting that, flying reindeer, talked about that earlier in this piece, can pull 10 times the normal amount. We cannot do the job with 8 or even 9 reindeer. We need 214,200 reindeer to pull the sleigh. This increases the payload, not counting the weight of the sleigh, to 353,430 tons. This is 4 times the weight of the ocean liner Queen Elizabeth. And we expect our children to believe that? And you know what? They do. They do. Scripture, Revelation 19, verse 6. Revelation 19, verse 6. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent. Omnipotent reigns. He is omnipotent. And he doesn't need a sleigh with over 200,000 supernatural reindeer. Point number 18. Santa is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is everywhere. Santa is omnipresent. He is everywhere. Santa is, in effect, everywhere at just about the same time. Continuing with this aeronautical engineering article from 20 years ago. in another section. Santa has 31 hours of Christmas to work with. This is due to the different time zones and the rotation of the Earth. Assuming he travels east to west, which seems logical. This works out to 822.6 visits per second. That is to say that for each Christian household with good children, Santa has 0.001 seconds to park, hop out of the sleigh, jump down the chimney, fill the stockings, distribute the remaining presents under the tree, eat whatever snacks have been left, get back up the chimney, get back into the sleigh, and move on to the next house. You know, the transporter on Star Trek can't move you that fast. Continuing, assuming that each of these 91.8 million stops are evenly distributed around the Earth, which of course we know to be false, but for the purposes of our calculation, we will accept. We are now talking about 0.78 miles between households. Okay? Now, 81.8 million, we got almost a mile between each household. A total of 75.5 million miles he's traveling. 75.5 million miles. Not counting the stops to do what most of us do at least once every 31 hours, plus eating, etc. So Santa's sleigh must be moving at 650 miles per second. 3,000 times the speed of light. For purposes of comparison, the fastest man-made vehicle on Earth, the Ulysses Space Probe, moves at a pokey 27.4 miles per second. And then a conventional reindeer can run at top speed 50 miles an hour. 650 miles per second he's moving. Scripture, Matthew 24, 26 to 27. Matthew 24, 26 to 27. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Only Christ can move that fast. Because Christ can be omnipresent. As even David said in Psalm 139, where can I go from your presence? God is omnipresent. So is Santa God? Point number 19. Santa is a giver of gifts. Santa is a giver of gifts. Millions of young children anxiously climb into the lap of Santa Claus. They'll whisper in his ear what they want for Christmas. They'll rise on Christmas morning with bright eyes and anticipation of the wonderful gifts Santa will give them. And they, for the most part, get what they want. Scripture, Ephesians 4, verse 8. Ephesians 4, verse 8. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Most of us don't think of the fact that we have been gifted already by Jesus Christ. We don't think about what that gift is. We each have a gift. It's not a matter that we have to wait to receive something. We have been gifted by Jesus Christ. And then we come to point number 20. Point number 20, another name for Santa is Kris Kringle. Kris Kringle. Webster's Online Dictionary says this equals Santa Claus. In its article, it says the origin of Kris Kringle. It's a modification of the German Christ or Christkindl or Christ child, Christmas gift, diminutive of Christ kind or Christ child. Santa Claus or Christ Kringle is the counterfeit of the Christ child. Scriptures, Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Go to the next one, Luke 2:11-12. Luke 2:11-12, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Again, interesting, as we're dealing with this Tuesday night in Revelation 12. As the woman was very pregnant with child, and she gave birth, and the dragon was right there, ready to destroy the child. He couldn't. But that dragon, as Isaiah 14:14 says, I want to be like the Most High, I want to be worshipped. Is this one of the things he has done? As Revelation 12:9 says, he is that dragon, serpent of old, who has deceived the whole world. You ever notice how easy it is in the English to transform Santa, S-A-N-T-A, into Satan, S-A-T-A-N? Just move the N from Santa to the end, and voila, Satan appears. There are probably other coincidences. I'm going to stop at that. Santa shares many of the very same characteristics and attributes as God and Jesus Christ. It seems obvious that someone deliberately created a counterfeit. A counterfeit of Jesus Christ, matching the many attributes of Christ with Santa Claus. There are too many correlations for this to just have been an accident or a coincidence. My proposal, Revelation 12:9, the devil and Satan deceive the whole world. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine to them. Satan wants to be like the Most High. Satan wants to be worshipped. And as 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Many will say that Santa is not real. Tell that to a kid. They'll become disillusioned. Just as I did as a kid. And I'm sure some of you did as well. But even though Santa is not real, Satan is. Satan has always desired to make himself look as much like God as possible. Is he trying to do that through this figure that is idolized at this time of the year by so many kids, Santa Claus? The bottom line, this is a great sin. Sin breaks the law of God, as I conclude over here in Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 to 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 to 6. In the commandments, right at the beginning, you shall have no other gods before me. One, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. What does he mean? The instructions were given about making a cherubim in the tabernacle and in the temple. What is he talking about? Go on, verse 5. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So as the Apostle Paul says, flee idolatry. Even though Santa is a man, Satan is a spirit who wants to be worshipped like the true God in Jesus Christ. And Satan could be using this mythological figure to do just that. My final reaction,